In an Olympic race, you either win or lose. Coming in fourth is like bringing up the rear. The same is true in the spiritual realm. All of us are either winning or losing eternally. And our relationships with Christ determine where those future ages will be spent. He made claims no other man has ever made and backed them up with incontrovertible miracles. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on Christ among other gods, showing why Christ is supreme. Today, Dr. Lutzer concludes a message on Christ's extraordinary life, a life that forced people to choose between God and Satan.
And my dear friend, I want you to know that whether you are aware of it or not, you personally, as a man, a woman, a teenager, even a child, really do belong to one God or the other. Stephen Neal, in a book about Jesus, said that he once spent an evening with a man who was very close friend of Adolf Hitler. And this man said to Stephen Neal that there was something about Hitler that was magnetic. He had energy. Just like at the Parliament of World Religions, there were people there, they said, who had energy. And I did not dispute the energy, I just disputed the origin of the energy. But there were people who had energy, and Hitler was one who had energy. And this man said, "You could take me blindfolded through 10 different rooms, and without a single word being said, without a sound," he said, "I could have told you which room Hitler was in." He said that Hitler's presence was such that he said that when you were in his presence, you either had to run and leave politics and forget him, or you had to say to yourself, "This man needs to be killed." And he says the only other option was to sell your soul to him, body, soul, and spirit. There is a man with energy. A close friend of Hitler says that Hitler was only the body for the spirit that inhabited him. When he spoke, he sometimes spoke with such interesting comments that it is said that he himself was listening to what was coming out of his mouth as if he were hearing it for the first time. Thoroughly demonized, just like Antichrist will be. Power. Now, you know, in the presence of Jesus, there's also power. You can't ignore him. You can't ignore him. All that you can do is to run from him. That's a possibility. That's what many people are doing. They say, you know, if I just celebrate Christmas, I can keep distance between me and him because I'm not afraid of the baby in the manger. I can just say that it's a lovely story, and I can just get rid of him that way, and I can just run, and I can just pretend that all the other religions of the world are equal. Well, that's one possibility, but what a wrong possibility that is. That means that you cannot stand in his presence. The only other option, of course, is to reinterpret him as those who went on their quest for the historical Jesus has done, and that is to simply take him and to scrub him clean and to say he is not miraculous, he is one of us, and we're going to disbelieve the account. Then there is another possibility, and that is to look at the portrait of Jesus Christ in the Bible and to say, King of kings, Lord of lords, God of all gods. The other possibility is to look at him and to say, he is who he claimed to be, and the words that came out of his mouth and the works that he did with his hands are so intricately unified that this is indeed God walking upon earth, the only one who can speak to us and say, "Be thou clean." And when we hear his words, we hear those words from the judge and the king of the universe. That's the only other alternative. This past week, I was at a revival conference at which I had the privilege of speaking a number of times, and one evening I spoke on Satan, specifically 12 different doorways that he uses in our lives to get a foothold. The Lord was very gracious because of your prayers and the prayers of many others, perhaps 75 or 100 people responded to the invitation to go to the prayer room to confess and to submit to God. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." If you don't do number one, don't even expect to be able to do number two. You can resist the devil and he will not flee if you first don't submit. But after the service, a young man who is a student in the Bible school said, "I'm going to tell you something that no one else knows except my wife." He said, "Here's my story." He said, "I've become very interested in another religion," and he told me which religion it was. And he said, "I decided that I am going to study this religion from the inside." He said, "Somehow I became fascinated with it." So he said, "I went over to Calgary and I found this religion and I submitted myself to them and I took all of their training." And he says, "As part of the training," he said, "is I had to take vows." He said, "And I went through all those vows." He says, "In my heart, I knew I was lying. I was saying, 'Jesus, you know that really I do love you, but actually, if this is what is necessary for me to get into this religion, I'll take the vows.'" So he took the vows. And then he was baptized in this religion, which also believes that one should be baptized for the dead. As far as the leaders are concerned, he is a bona fide member of this religion. But he says, "I'm in such distress." He said, "I don't know what to do." He says, "I'm having these terrible, terrible nightmares." And he says, "In the nightmares," he says, "I see myself being sacrificed on the altar." He said, "It became very clear to me that in submitting myself to this religion," he says, "I was bowing at the feet of Satan to get in." He says, "I have dreams of concentric circles. I have dreams of pyramids, of pentagrams, all the occult symbols." He said, "It's affected my study. I can't study." He says, "It's affected my relationship with my wife." And he said, "I don't know what to do." I said, "Young man, I'll tell you what you need to do." I said, "You need to go to the prayer room. You need to get on your knees, and it doesn't matter how long it takes, but you have to go point by point, renouncing every one of those vows." Renouncing every one. Confessing that you were sinning, not only because of lying, but because you were in the devil's territory. This was his playground. This is where he works. And then I said, "After that, you need the help of a faculty member." Unfortunately, I wasn't able to pray with him because I had another commitment, but I said, "You need the help of a faculty member. You need to tell somebody else." I met him at breakfast the next day, and we had a talk, and he said, "I spent time in the prayer room," but he says, "no matter how long I stayed there, the distress of spirit was still upon me." But he said, "After I left, I met a friend. I told him my whole story, just like I told you the story." And he said, "We prayed together and we believed together. Remember, the Bible says, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything." You see, we all want to live the Christian life individually. We don't want anybody's help. We don't want anybody to know what we're struggling with. We don't want anybody to know what is going on in our souls, because we like to give the impression that we are exempt from the temptations, the struggles, and the heartaches and the difficulties of life. And so he said, "We began to pray together." And he said, "I feel much better." He says, "The nightmares have left, but there's still one step in the process." And he says, "They still think I'm a member of their group and I have been assigned a teacher. And I have to go tell him the truth." And I encouraged him to do that and said, "You need to take a faculty member with you, because I'm not sure if you have enough strength to do what you need to do." You say, "Well, is everybody who's in these other religions, they're having these awful dreams?" No, not everybody. Some people, but not everybody. Remember that if you belong to the devil, he will make your religious commitment as sweet, as profitable, as miraculous as he possibly can. I stand amazed at the naivete of people, thinking that everything from the devil looks terrible. Listen, everything from the devil that he can make look good will look good. But this man was in distress because he was a Christian. And little wonder God was using that demonic distress to bring him to his senses, to bring him to a place of renunciation. And in the end, I have no doubt that Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will prove himself absolutely superior to all the other gods, even in this young man's life. Folks, I shall speak plainly and tell you that there are two gods. And if you understood the implications, as we'll be trying to explain them in subsequent messages, there are only really two religions, too, at root. Christ, thy sins be forgiven thee. Before Abraham was, I am. The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. There's Christ. And then there's all the other little gods, terrible gods, powerful gods, if we submit to them, willing to draw us away, to tell us all the beauties that lie on the other side. But in the presence of Christ, if you are listening by radio, cassette, videotape, or here today, in the presence of Christ, you're in the presence of energy. You're in the presence of God, and you need to choose. And don't you think you can get by with letting that decision slip?
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and it is true that you have to make a decision about Jesus Christ. And even those of you who are listening to this broadcast today who have chosen to not make a decision but to simply ignore him, that is a decision. That is your decision. Jesus will not allow us the privilege of ignoring him. Either in this life or the life to come, we will give an account to him. Either he will be our judge or he will be our Savior. But one thing is sure, you and I will encounter him at some point in our existence. Well, all that I can do is to share my heart with you today and tell you, first of all, we're so grateful for the many of you who listen to this broadcast, for your prayers, for your support. We are really dependent upon you. Also, I want to remind you that I've written a book entitled Christ Among Other Gods. The purpose of this book and the messages that you are listening to on this broadcast, the purpose is simply to help all of us understand why Christ is indeed the only way to the Father, to be able to share him with others. Perhaps you say, well, today, Pastor Lutzer, I am convinced that Jesus is the only way to the Father. I'm glad that you are. But some of you who are listening, you have students in the university. You know friends, you know young people who are struggling with these issues in various places in our schools today. You can help them, you can bless them by making sure that they have an opportunity to read this book that will strengthen their faith and point them toward the Christ who is able to save. I'm glad that we had this time together today. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be looking forward to connecting with you again next time. And if you've trusted Christ as Savior, let us know so we can rejoice with you.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up An Extraordinary Life, the third message in his series, Christ Among Other Gods. Monday, join us for a message on why Christ has an extraordinary authority. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Knowing why Christ has no competitors is key to defending your faith in a confused culture. Pastor Lutzer's book, Christ Among Other Gods, will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.